They say life in 40 is just a state of mind.
I mean, I'm 40 now, and that's, you know, I mean, I'm 40. I'm half dead, basically. 40's a weird age.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
Frustrating, but inevitable for most people. It's middle-aged spread.
Hey, Endo! This is what it is! You put one foot in front of the other and...
Mommy, Daddy...
Today we're going to talk about the Fountain of Youth.
Today we're not going to talk about the Fountain of Youth.
Come on, you know what I just realized? This fall marks 20 years since I went to college.
How does that make you feel?
I don't know. That seems crazy.
It was a little cathartic for me back... 4 years ago.
I think it's gone fast.
Was it 4 years ago? Whatever.
This isn't since graduating, but since like going to college, leaving home. Anyway, I just had that revelation.
Passing of time. You know, things like that, where you go day to day to day to day to day, and you're like, you know, you're just living your life. But every now and then something happens, you realize time is moving on. And I'm not really aware of it because I'm not paying any attention.
I know. I thought of that because my mother posted something on Facebook about getting an invitation to her own 50th high school reunion. And I went, whoa, 50? And then I started doing some math, like 50 plus. Wow, yes, that is correct.
Yeah. As I alluded to in last week's episode, one of my fall things is the night before the kids go back to school, we go out for our froyo.
Yes, your froyo.
So we did that.
Oh, nice.
And I had a little toast before we on our froyo. And I said, you know, we're here to mark the passing of time. Summer went by, and they're all getting a year older, and we, you know, raised our froyo cups, and we did a toast to them and celebrating their lives and what they're going to accomplish, yada, yada, yada. It's really kind of sappy. And then the girl at the frozen yogurt place interrupted and said, you need to sign your receipt. I'm like,
I'm having a moment.
I'm in the middle of something here.
This is deep.
But, that's another one of those revelations to your brain. Oh my gosh.
I went, whoa, because I said it to my husband. He came home from work and I was like, 20 years, because we met our sophomore year. So next year will mark 20 years that we have been together.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, you know, we've started to realize, I said, you know what? We have been a thing for more of our life than we have not at this point. I told him that. And he went like, oh man. He had this reaction, and I said, well, wait a minute. That's supposed to be a good thing,
it's
right?
It's not bad. It just makes him realize that he's getting older.
But I'm definitely having some of those moments with people kind of, I think there are some coming up, because like I've said before in a podcast, I have my 20th high school reunion that's going to happen, and I'm sure the Facebook.
That you're not going to.
And I'm not going to go to. And it's going to be photos all over the place, and there's just, I think I watch all the different, I don't really, 11, 12, 13, any of those numbers, but I think of things in terms of fives.
The round numbers, of course.
Or tens. And so I have some of those things approaching.
But there are so many things that happen in those off years. You've got,
I need to celebrate 17 or something.
I'm going to lay down some wisdom on you, young lady.
Okay. Later.
All right. Today we are actually going to talk sort of about the passage of time
exactly.
And the way things have changed in the past 20 years with the advent of the internet.
20 years? Would it be like, 20 would be 30.
I say 20 because 20 years ago is when AOL started mailing out CDs to everybody that says, hey, you know, put this in and for $20 a month you can have access to the internet whenever you want it. So I say it's 20
years.
That's
when it became more widespread.
It's been around a lot longer, but it's been mainstream, for about 20 years. So we're going to talk about what life was like before the internet and how it has changed since it's become part of our daily lives. And our special guest today is Jason Falls, who's very well known in social media circles. He's known around Louisville as a smart guy when it comes to the internet. We know better because I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Jason.
Because we have microphones,
right? we're just going to talk about the way that it's affected our lives and somewhat how it's affected members of our generation, because I think it affected us more than certainly millennials mostly have grown up with it. What episode was Amy on? Was it
episode
three
on.
Or four? We talked to a millennial, and she said, you know, she sort of grew up with the internet. It's just that's the way it is.
And our children, for sure, it's not just the internet; it's smartphones.
Yes, Yeah, and the people older, the generation older than us, you know, it's useful for them, maybe it's fun, but it's not as consequential as it is, professionally speaking, for people of our generation.
Yes, for us, I feel like it's not really a choice.
You got to know it, you got to use it, you have to embrace it, or it's life is going to pass you by, and you'll find yourself selling cars. Not that that's a bad thing to do.
I think they have apps for selling cars, though, so even selling cars is out.
Well, it's affected
even
those people.
Like, people that come and fix and are plumbers come with an iPad and an app
to do everything. And yes. That's how they're developing
you,
their business.
It's
so
everybody.
Yeah. That's just the way life is. It's not going to change.
Yes.
So we'll talk to Jason for a little bit and we'll jump into, I've got good words of wisdom today.
Really good.
Yeah. I got my movie clip loaded up
yes.
and ready to go.
I do not.
And it's a familiar voice to a lot of people. So I think that even if you don't believe what he's saying, you'll snicker about it.
Okay, mine is a text from my mom.
Well, wisdom comes
from texts from my mom.
From parents,
yes.
Right? I assume that's where I learned all this stuff. So I got my gutters this week, and I'm looking forward to Hurricane Hermione.
Because you got new gutters.
Because I want to see the gutters in action.
Did you get the? We inherited nice gutters when we bought our house. They're those non-clog ones.
Yeah.
Is that what you got where it hangs over? I forget. There's a name for them. My husband knows what they're called, but I don't care about these things. But there's special gutters where you actually don't have to clean the gutters.
Well, we have gutter guard stuff on top of it.
Right, so maybe that's what they're called. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know why I even brought this up, except for it is so indicative of our age.
That you're so excited about your gutters.
It's important. Right.
You know what I was excited about? Our air conditioning went out, and it only cost $80 to fix it.
Nice.
I felt like I won the lottery.
Yeah, you should.
I had to leave, and my husband came home for the technician, and so we were texting back and forth. I'm like, please, did he figure out what's wrong with the air conditioning? Yes, it just needed to be recharged, $80. Like, yes! Like, I felt like I just won.
Yeah.
Like $2,000 because it didn't cost us anything
or
to fix
eight,
it.
Depending on what needed to happen.
Exactly.
Not ridiculous. I mean,
that literally made my day that day.
That's where we are in life.
I'm going to power wash this weekend.
Nice. You have your own little sprayer?
I love power washing.
Oh, me too, but mine compressor's broken.
Oh.
I'm going to have to get that fixed.
Yeah.
This is a ridiculous conversation. Everybody, just forget that this ever happened. Let's talk to Jason Falls about the internet.
Yes. I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
I know this seems counterintuitive to talk about this, you know, when we're encouraging people to listen to us on their smartphones, but we're going to talk about unplugging, so to speak.
Yeah, or life before the internet and things like that.
Right. And our guest today is Jason Falls.
He doesn't know anything about internet or social media.
We just kind of picked him up on the street.
We just saw him hanging out in the parking lot.
Wow, he looks
selling my wares out of my trunk.
Reading a newspaper. Oddly enough.
Exactly. I love the smell of newsprint ink on your fingers.
I do. Wrap around the newspaper. I have newspaper in my blood, man.
Yeah.
In my blood.
I still use it to put in my son's soccer shoes when they get wet.
Good tip. That's a
and
good one.
And it takes the stink out of them, too.
It does. Excellent
so
tip.
So it still has very good, it's very it pertinent in my family.
Yeah, you know, my mom was the editor of the Appalachian News Express in Pikeville, Kentucky when I was growing up. So
Pikeville.
I come from Pikeville? The newspaper business.
You said Pikeville.
Pikeville.
I said Pikeville.
It's Pakville. P-A-C-K-F-U-L. Pakville.
Oh, there's an F. Okay.
Yeah, that's how you say it. It's not how you spell it.
I know.
But yeah,
I know how to spell things. I grew up in Indiana.
I actually, semi related. I was sitting across the room today, about an hour ago, and someone was at a table at this particular establishment, a group of people, and they said they mispronounced the word Appalachia. And so I posted a rhetorical question on Facebook. When you hear someone mispronounce the word Appalachia from across the room, do you A, ignore it, or do you B, get up, walk over, and set them on fire? So
did they say Appalachia?
Something like that.
It's not the Appalachian Trail?
No, it is Appalachian. The Appalachian.
Okay, all right.
It is Appalachia. Fine. It's always been Appalachia. It'll always be Appalachia.
Okay.
He's very passionate about this.
Well, he grew up around there, so I'll just hand it to him.
I'm from right in the damn middle of it. So.
All right. At any rate, this conversation was spurned by an article that Stephanie found that we all found very interesting.
Exactly. I found it on the internet.
Can you believe it?
Uh-oh. And it was on the internet. Going around, somebody had shared it, I think, on Facebook, and I read it, and it was all about our generation being, like, we are old enough to remember when the internet happened, and then see how life changed afterwards, you know?
And be affected by it.
And be affected by it.
Some of the older baby boomers, they can probably afford to ignore it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, that's definitely, I mean, they're not, which, you know, the usage numbers, you know, even in elderly folks these days are incredible. 60-70% of the people are online. But at the same time, there are generations, you know, into your 50s, 60s, and 70s these days. There's a certain level, especially in the upper income echelons, who they don't care and they don't need it and they don't want it. So
it doesn't add anything to their lives. It doesn't help them do anything.
No. The only exception to the rule is if they have grandkids. If they have grandkids, they're on Facebook so they can see pictures of their grandkids. That's pretty much it. But they don't use it for
that's really why it was invented.
They don't use it like me for news and information.
Can we put the word news in quotes?
News.
That's one of the major effects to me of the internet has had is it's changed the definition of what news is.
Yeah.
Breaking news, stuff like that. You used to wait until the 5-7 o'clock.
Well, anybody can break news now.
Right.
And if you're not considering the source, your news probably isn't accurate.
The social media has created a world where everybody can publish anything. And unfortunately, when you have that, everybody will publish anything.
You bet.
Right.
And so there's no fact-checking. There's no level of editors or producers in between us and the information these days. And so when you've got, you know, some random schmuck running a blog who's quote-unquote breaking news... or some random schmucks running a podcast who are quote unquote breaking news. The audience is not trained to double check their sources, verify their information, and so it's really dumbed down society.
Yeah. It's bad. It's terrible.
That's why I don't mess with news.
Yeah.
I'm the non dumb schmuck blogger.
Well,
I don't mess with news because I know I'm not supposed to.
Yeah. We should have had Amy come back in and talk about this because I don't.
She's not really old enough to know the difference.
That's one of the things that you got gray hair. You're in Generation X. Are you kidding me? So that's one thing that we, I think, realize is, hey, you know, things were different back then when news was vetted and researched and all that stuff. And I just don't know that younger generations will be able to discern the difference.
That's true. And hopefully if there's younger generations out there listening to this. What you need to understand is when you used to consume news, you know, before probably 1995, any piece of news you got had been vetted by a reporter, had been fact checked by a fact checker, had been edited and vetted by a producer or an editor at a newspaper, magazine, radio, television station. So you had a level of trained professionals that went through the piece of information before you ever saw it.
Of course.
Now you've got, you know, random schmucks just throwing out made up headlines on the internet, and yet the public still consumes that the same way.
They
consider it true.
I would even say they consume the headline and not the story.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's absolutely
true. And they're like, oh my gosh,
What graphic goes up and what the headline is. Yep. And you have to actually read the thing. But I've gotten used to, when stuff comes out now, it starts to, you see Twitter go rapid fire and Facebook. And then I just sit back and wait.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned to just wait like 6 hours.
Mm-hmm. You got 6 hours.
Or something.
You got to wait 6 days for the actual truth to come out.
No, but at least 6 hours you get a little bit of like, okay, really?
Yeah.
And then, you know, more unfolds, but you can't read the first when there's that rapid fire.
Right.
You got to wait a little bit, but most people freak out.
But it's that rapid fire, the first hour or two of people reacting emotionally and overreacting, that I think unfortunately misinforms the rest of the public, because too many people see it in passing and they read the headline, not the story.
Yes.
And so they read the tweet and they don't actually investigate it. And then all of a sudden people think that, you know, one political candidate said something they didn't say, and so on and so forth.
It's creating giant chasms in our populace.
A world of misinformation.
We're splitting into tribes, and it's making it worse. This is such a downer of a conversation.
Yeah, we're having all this negativity.
We're crapping all over social media, has given at least one, if not two of us in the room, you know, a life.
No, I know,
yeah,
me guys, too. Yeah. Well, this article wasn't just about social media. It was about the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically right. pinpointed 1985 as if you were born before 1985, you, and I think there was one quote that I like from it that said, you... Now we wake up and say in the morning, we go straight to our phones. Mm-hmm. What did we miss?
Yeah.
Almost like some sort of twisted guilt for sleeping or not being online. Mm-hmm. I wasn't online for an hour. I was in a meeting. I was at work. What did I miss?
Right. Yeah.
And that's the mentality instead of waking up with a blank slate.
Mm-hmm. What's going to happen today?
And wondering kind of what is that going to do to us? Being so attached to what did I miss? I need to check it, how many people, you know, our children, how many check Instagram, how many people liked my photo, right. or and getting obsessed with those kinds of things rather than just living them. You know, we used to take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
We'd take the roll of film and we'd get them developed and we were excited.
It was a great anticipation, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Remember when 1 hour photo came out? Yeah. Oh, blow your mind. Oh. And so sometimes I remember when we were little, you have to wait 5 days to get your photos.
Oh, yeah.
And but you did things with them. You shared, you cared what people's reaction were, but it was a personal thing. Mm-hmm. You'd go show them the photos. Look at my photos. Oh, this is so great. You talk about it. Now it's just like, or love mm-hmm. on Facebook or wow.
There's at least one advertiser I've seen that is capitalizing on the fear of missing out, which I guess is that's a real phenomenon.
It is.
FOMA.
Yeah, FOMA. It's out
fear
there.
Fear of missing. People just can't stand.
Oh, gosh, there's an acronym? I just learned
there
that.
There is, yeah. It's it's hard to keep up with the acronyms because I don't know which ones are actual acronyms and which ones are like LOLBRB. I don't pay attention to those.
Yeah, the short texting.
Yeah, the short texting. I like to type out my words when I text. I'm a geek that way.
I can acknowledge he actually does like to type out what WTF means.
Oh, okay.
Well, yes. There's
where's the fries?
There's a magic to that.
Like Bobby Knight said, that's a magical word.
It is.
It means so many different things.
It does. Every part of speech. But yeah, it's
the fear of missing out.
The fear of missing out is it grips you, and it's not just a younger generation thing. It's bled into our generation and older.
It's true.
Oh, right.
Because of the news cycle again is no longer 24 hours. It's, you know, 24 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And it's that same thing. It's like, what did I miss? You know, and you said it, you know, perfectly. It's not just about when you wake up in the morning. It's, well, I was in a meeting for a half an hour. What did I miss? You grab your phone, walk into the next meeting and say, well, is there anything on Facebook or is there anything on Twitter that what are people talking about now?
You know who really regrets this phenomenon? The companies that used to make the memo pads.
Yep.
While you were out.
Yep.
And you'd come back and you'd have the phone.
They are so out of business.
So
or maybe
business.
They made an app for that.
They've had to pivot.
They probably did. Well, that's in that what all the little internal communications apps are for now, you know?
Yeah.
Right. And so. I actually saw a recent, somebody posted on Facebook, one of my friends who tends to be a little bit of a disheveled, late to everything. her new thing with the school year starting with her kids is I'm going to get organized and mm-hmm. I'm going to get the family calendar. And she posted a photo of this beautiful, very designer family, like paper calendar and with her cup of coffee and her pen and everyone underneath was like, what is that?
Yeah. In the time it took her to take that picture and post it, she could have had a digital calendar filled out.
And so that's what everyone started. But what I started to realize was that, yes, we're all using digital calendars, a lot of people, mm-hmm. but there's so many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, so then people were having a discussion. Oh, I like this one better. I like this mm-hmm. one better. I like this one better. Oh my gosh. There's so many family sharing digital calendars.
Yeah.
And there's no more stick the thing up on the fridge and go check the calendar. So it's just interesting to me kind of having that, thinking of it in a way that we have that.
Right.
And is that a good thing, I think. Well, that we have that perspective.
I think it's a good thing that we have that perspective, and I hope that we can translate that in some way to younger generations, because there is a magic to the tactile experience. I mean, I'm a writer. That's what I do. You know, it's not my job, but I write in my job, and, you know, I'm a blogger, writer, whatever. It's my craft. And I still, to this day, will, you know, get a journal or a Moleskine or a pad of paper, and I'll sit down and sketch out notes for a blog post or a story or something that I'm writing for a client. I have a couple of, you know, journals that I keep in my briefcase so that when I have an idea, I can sit down and jot it down. Now, I have started to type things up in Evernote and a couple of other, you know, software applications, but that tactile experience, I think, just gives you a different environment. It puts you in a different mood. You know, it makes me feel like more of a real writer as opposed to someone who pecks away at a keyboard all day, which can, you know, fuel some creative energy and some ideas and so on and so forth.
Well,
and
it
so,
also, it takes longer for your brain to work.
Yeah.
If you're writing something down, so maybe your brain can process something a little bit more and you have a more fully formed thought.
Yeah.
Instead of just little snippets of,
and you don't wind up in the problem that I wound up with in 2000. I think it was 2011 when my first book came out in 2011, and I was actually at the very first.
I wrote a book.
I was sitting there at the very first time I gave the talk, the speech about my book, and they wanted me to have a book signing. And so the first guy steps up in line, and I start writing, you know, an inscription in the book. And like three words into it, my hand cramped up. I hadn't written cursive in forever.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my goodness, this is terrible that I can't. I'm having physical trouble actually writing with a pen and paper.
Book signings are so hard. Hashtag humble brag.
He needs physical therapy.
Come on.
The book signing.
I just hashtagged. Oh my gosh.
My son hashtags everything. He's nine.
So I guess this is probably a bigger philosophical question than we can answer in the limited time we have here, but has the internet made us more or less productive? Because maybe we're doing more things, but we're doing fragments of things instead of really thought out.
I have found that I have destructive tendencies. I always have. I don't know. Attention deficit disorder, things like that.
That didn't exist before the internet.
Right.
It didn't.
Seriously. But I think it does feed into that.
Yep.
Because parts of my job and what I do are to go on Facebook or whatever, and then all of a sudden, 15, 20 minutes later, mm-hmm. I'm saying, what was I supposed to do?
Right.
I have no idea. And then you're clicking, and I think the internet does feed, because it's endless, mm-hmm. it does feed into some of that non-productivity. Mm-hmm. However, there are things that you can do a lot faster mm-hmm. because of it. You know, I've been doing some things with my new job, and I have to look something up or look up a definition or how to fix something in a certain way, I can find it really fast.
Right.
And I don't waste time on that. So I think there's give and take.
I think the internet has made us more productive, but it's made us less efficient and less effective in that productivity. So we have more volume. We have quantity, but we don't have quality.
Yeah.
And that's true in a lot of ways of the internet. It's the same thing with, you know, with news and media. We have a lot more noise out there, not enough signal mm-hmm. in where we get our news and the news and information sources and our entertainment sources. It's the same thing with productivity. We're able to produce a lot more volume of stuff, but it's less meaningful stuff or it's less perfect. Because when you used to be able to, or used to have to write a letter to someone, you took your time and you wrote a letter, and you maybe proofread it and whatnot. Well, now you can just fire off
you Snapchat them.
LOL BRB on a tweet or whatever,
right.
and nobody understands what the hell you're saying unless they are, you know, a native to that language as well. And so it's just, I think it's really a problem of quantity over quality, and I think eventually that's going to hurt us.
What was your first experience with the internet, Jason?
Oh my goodness, let's see. My first experience with the internet was I was a junior, I believe, I was a sophomore in high school. This was 1989, maybe 88, 89, somewhere in there. And there was an eighth grader named Hank who went to our school, and he was building his own computers and writing, you know, basic computer game programs. And I was fascinated that this kid younger than me could do this. And mm-hmm. so I started to ask him to teach me to do things. And so he helped me buy my first personal computer that I cashed in a bunch of my grandmother's savings bonds to buy. I think my first personal computer.
You remember savings bonds?
I think my first personal computer cost like $3,000.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
I mean,
yeah.
It was.
Mine did. You know, sure.
Yeah. So I bought this computer. And the only thing I could do on it really was I could log into a message board. So this was
right,
early
boards,
social media,
yes.
Right? I could log into a message board and I could download basic computer games. So Pac-Man and Pong mm-hmm. and Breakout and things like that, or versions of it. But I remember, and this is my first experience with social media too, and this is late 1980s before social media was even thought. There was a chat board mm-hmm. on that message board for the users and or the administrators, where if you had a problem downloading a file, you could say, this file's not working or whatever. And, 2 days later, you would log back in and there would be a reply. And I was blown away.
That's so fast.
I was blown away that there was a person. I believe this particular board was run out of Corbin, Kentucky. And I was blown away that I could communicate.
Kentucky had two computers
in
1980.
It did.
Two computers. Wow.
I was blown away that this person in Corbin, which was about an hour and 15 minutes from where I lived, and I could communicate in almost real time.
Nice.
In this computer thing. And so that began my fascination with computers and technology and the internet.
What about you, Stephanie?
I definitely have my first memories of computers. Okay. I don't think I had a computer in elementary school. We definitely had them in our middle school.
Were they connected?
No.
Okay.
And then we got a computer at home. I believe I may have been a freshman in high school. So there would have been like 1992. Mm-hmm. And we had the dial up. Mm-hmm. And I remember, because my mother had a home office, she had a part-time job, and she had a fax machine.
Nice.
Right, I know.
Sophisticated.
And so we had the phone, the fax machine, and the computer, so it was a dance between who mm-hmm. uses what when, mm-hmm. and right? And so I do think the first time I connected with somebody remotely was because whatever dial-up we were using at the time, the service, mm-hmm. had a sort of message board. Mm-hmm. So you could connect to people. And there wasn't really any fear. I was a teenager chatting with people online.
Yep.
And there wasn't any stalker, weird, crazy stuff going on yet.
Back
that
then.
Wasn't happening yet.
Right.
But that was the first time. And there were some games, that mm-hmm. we would buy that could be basic interaction online if you connected them mm-hmm. to the internet. But I didn't do college applications online. Mm-mm. I wasn't there yet. I had a typewriter. I did mine on a fancy typewriter that could erase and stuff.
I didn't mind too.
So that was it. The dial-up, I can see. I think it was like an Apple of some sort.
Yeah.
But what we did.
I had an email address at Ball State, and we used them. I didn't know what it was. I didn't really understand what was happening. I sound so stupid. Oh my gosh. It doesn't seem like that long
ago. Did you have to go to the library
ago.
To use?
No. I had to go to the Vax Lab, which was different.
Okay.
And then when I was doing my paper for my broadcasting law class, which I got a D in because I was doing overnights in radio and I was like slept through half the class. At any rate, they said, well, you can go to the library and you can look up sources on the computer. And it was a computer. I was getting papers from a library at University of Iowa or mm-hmm. something. But
right.
again, I didn't know what I was using.
Right.
But the first, so I was thinking, gosh, my first internet is actually Prodigy.
Yep.
On that old service,
yes,
somebody had Prodigy.
And you would
door.
Get them free trials.
Yes.
So I think my family just skipped through all the different free trials of internet.
Yep, that's how it worked back then. I remember
you'd
the
get
first
a disc
web page,
in the mail or something.
The first web page that I ever owned that was mine that I put on the internet was AOL member pages.
Right.
And that's where I published my, copied and pasted my newspaper column that I wrote for the Appalachian News Express in Pikeville, Kentucky when I was, when I lived in New York. So that would have been right after graduate school in 96, 97. And I copied and pasted my newspaper column there because I wanted people that I went to college with to be able to see what I was writing, because the only people that could read it were people who got the print edition of the paper in Pikeville because it didn't have a website at the time. So I published this column online for a couple of years.
Hmm.
And then eventually that led to blogger.com, and then that led to WordPress, and that led to
and everything.
My blogging.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think some of the distraction to it doesn't necessarily come from the internet, but maybe the mobility of the internet now. Because even then, I remember sending off an email and just walking away.
Yeah.
And it might be 3 days, I might go back and check the email. Or my brothers and sisters, I was at home and I was the only one left at home. They were in college. They had email addresses, but it might take them 3 days to email you back because that's when they went to the library to check the email.
See, back then, I remember if you were like me and you were really fascinated with the internet and whatnot, you would send emails or you would go into your message boards or chat rooms or whatever, and you would message people, and then you would sit there and stare at the screen waiting for a response.
Like the movie, you've got mail.
But the rest of the world wasn't fascinated with the internet yet, so you could stare for hours. Now, people expect instant responses.
I wonder what the kind of rate is for how often somebody checks their email in a day now.
Oh, I saw a stat the other day that millennials, this was specific to millennials, they look at or pay attention to or have their inbox, their email inbox. Now, this is not Snapchat. This is email on their phone up so they can see it 80% of the time.
I didn't think they used email.
Like they're constantly looking at their inbox to see if they have new messages.
Right.
And it might just be, looking down at it every 30 seconds or whatever because they go from app to app or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a survey by, some software company, I'm sure, but it was specific to millennials, and it was like, 80% of millennials check their email multiple times a day. I think that was the stat.
That's crazy.
Well, I mean, the reality of this is, it is what it is. I mean, you can't go backwards.
No.
I think a lot of people kind of complain about it and think, man, and it's just not going to change. So I don't want to come out here and say the internet is bad, because the internet is not bad. The internet does wonderful things.
No, I don't think you can go backwards, but I do think you can balance it, because like I've gone through the last probably 6 months or so. I've tried unplugging for longer periods of time.
Define unplugging.
So unplugging to me means turning off the computer, turning off the device, turning off the phone, and doing something analog. Not watching a television screen even. I mean, last night I was talking on the phone. I was not looking at the internet. I was just talking to a friend of mine on the phone. And I sat, because we had great weather last night here in Louisville.
How do you do that?
But I sat on my deck and enjoyed the weather. I was looking up at the stars.
Nobody talks on the phone anymore.
Yeah.
I was talking on this.
It was a bad joke.
Her friend happens to live in Florida, so I could, anyway.
You could have just texted her, but you talked on the phone.
Now, what are stars?
Exactly. Yeah, well, they're these nice little dots in the sky that are quite beautiful and fascinating to ponder while you're sitting under them. So I've done that. I went on a cruise with my kids recently, and while I did get the internet package so that we could, stay communicating with, their mom and so on and so forth, I also would put the phone down and leave it in the room cabin and go to the pool and go to wherever. And so I've been doing that a lot more lately. I've also been doing a lot more just kind of meditation and walks and exercise and self-care and whatnot, where I get away from the devices. And it does unclutter your brain.
It does. It totally does.
Dan is all about that.
Yeah. It lowers your stress. It lowers your blood pressure.
The walking.
I went off of Facebook for 3 weeks once, and I felt so great.
I did once remove it from my phone. I removed it from my phone because then I had to at least go to a computer.
That's a big step.
Yeah. And that was helpful.
Yeah.
It just it's so bad.
Yeah.
It's not, but I like.
Well, you could also take the time to go through and weed out the people that post the stuff that frustrates you too.
I know.
You can filter.
I know you can.
But it's a positive space.
Whatever.
I can't avoid it because it's part of
the problem.
My work.
Sure.
And I can't avoid it.
Well, it's, people ask me, how do you have time for all these social media networks? And I'm like, well, it's not, I don't really have any more time than you do, but it's part of my job. So
I gotta
have to know how to use them,
I gotta throw a shout out to my favorite Twitter follow that I picked up on recently.
Oh, really?
It's @supportivedude. And he's an anti-troll in his description. And his pinned tweet is, "Hey, nice work, everybody." And it's so great.
Do you tweet him when need a pat on the back?
Yeah, we talk all the time.
You tweet him and then he makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Supportive dude. He is the best.
That's better than the one I got the other day from Grammar Police. which is it's a bot, and so if you use incorrect grammar,
it will
respond and say, maybe you should have said da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
I love it.
Oh,
and of course I responded with Twitter's not a term paper, and then gave him a little flip the bird emoji.
Yeah, but there's always room for proper grammar, Jason.
Well, I'm not one to shrug off proper grammar, no, but at the same time, Twitter's not a term paper. Leave me the hell alone.
Yeah.
I used whomever instead of whoever.
Oh, that's impossible.
And I can't
anyway.
Even recite that rule anyway, so no. Screw off, Twitter bot.
thanks for keeping it PG rated here, Jason.
He needs supportive dude.
Yeah, I do need supportive dude.
I'm thinking that we're running a little long here, but I think this might warrant another visit.
Oh yeah, you know, I could endlessly talk about the endless things on the internet.
As things continue to evolve.
Definitely.
The internet never ends. Just remember that.
I do think there is some validity to unplugging, and I would recommend that everybody do it.
At least
if Jason,
try it.
Dude, if Jason Falls can do it, anybody can do it.
Heck
true.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is how we...
Notice I didn't stop drinking bourbon. I just unplugged.
I don't...
That would be the reason to unplug. I'd be afraid of what you would be putting on social media after all of your imbibing.
90% of what I put on the internet is everybody.
I was about to say, Jason needs to plug where people can find him on the internet.
Yeah.
I'm Jason Falls everywhere. I think I'm Jason Falls on all the major networks. JasonFalls.com. And yeah, there you go.
Okay. Thanks for coming in, bro. Well,
thanks for having me.
I just broed you, bro.
Uh-oh.
I'm not doing that.
Just don't touch me.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers.
Yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
This really gets me thinking about some other topics I think we need to talk about, like who, particularly Facebook, I think, who to be friends with and when... when do you unfriend somebody? Is that offensive?
I don't think you can unfriend somebody once you friend them, unless there's something very, like the relationship is over. But
no, but people say, you know, I used to live in North Carolina or something like that. Maybe there's somebody who I had only a small relationship there, and then I've moved here now, and I'm never.
I guess if they'll never miss you.
Yeah. So, but that's a whole other. So that's really that conversation gets me thinking about that with the life as life changes, and our children grow up, and we meet other people, and we get involved in different organizations, or our children play sports, or we change jobs.
Yeah.
Who do we engage with on Facebook in particular? Because I feel like Facebook's very personal. Twitter you follow and unfollow. It doesn't matter, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
That's just a free-for-all.
I keep my Facebook super privatized.
Right.
And I get, you know, I get friend requests from people like, I really want to let them in because I know them professionally or whatever the deal is. But, whatever. I don't have anything to hide.
So I think that's a whole other podcast we have to do.
I've become more of a troll lately than I have a poster.
Uh-oh.
Because I don't want people to comment on what I'm thinking.
Yes.
I just don't. I'm using Facebook as the timeline in a very pure sense, in that I'm marking this is what I was doing when I was doing it, and this is with whom I was.
Right.
Associating, that's correct grammar.
I don't know. We need to go and get that Twitter guy from the grammar
police. It tends to be me.
Right.
So maybe that's, we'll just start off, never mind. We're not going to start words of wisdom with that. We're going to start words of wisdom with this.
Man, I've got certain information.
What do you think the meaning of life is?
Best place to be is here. Best time to be is now.
Party on, dudes!
Little girls are delicate. Boy, you put the backyard like a dog, it raises itself.
Words of wisdom.
Okay, you go first.
Me go first. So I had just some frustration that I was just letting out in text messages to my mother about some stuff just going on with my son.
And isn't it nice to vent to mom?
Yeah. I was like, and I just, but it's not something that I can control. It's not, it's just, so that's what's frustrating. You know, when you do something yourself, you're mad at yourself or you feel guilty or whatever. This is just pure frustration because it's something that's out of my control. And she just wrote to me kind of to cut me off.
Like, I'm kind of having a drink here.
She just said, get it out of your head. It's out of your control. Move on.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we tend to get in these cyclical thoughts, things that are out of our control. We still fester on them. And I need to not do that. Because when she cut me off, I said, okay, mom, I'm gonna just forget about it. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't control this.
A lot of people, they would say, how much is this going to matter a year from now?
Exactly.
And that's a very good thing to provide perspective. Like, okay, you're right.
Yeah.
A year from now, this isn't going to matter.
In the grand scheme of things, it really is not that big of a deal.
That could be a good measuring stick for whether or not you should be concerned with whatever it is that's bothering
you. There you go.
Yeah.
But just in general, I think she did a good job because I was just firing off text messages to her, and she just cut me off and like just smacked me on the head via text message.
Right.
Like, snap out of it. Get it out of your head. You can't control this.
The equivalent of slapping somebody who's in hysterics to get...
Exactly. Like, wake up. Snap out of it. And so she did it via text message. I said, and it worked. And so...
You should have an emoji for that.
Yeah. Like, head. Yeah. With a big palm
Schmack.
Coming at you. And I bet there's a GIF I could find one.
Yep. And oh, it's so from Airplane. There's a... Oh, come on. Everything
airplane,
goes back to
everything
Airplane.
Everything Airplane. You'll find that one for next week, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is my words of wisdom. That don't let yourself spiral out of control and get frustrated and further frustrated and deeper frustrated for something you can't control. If you can control it, do something about
it. Well, I'll take it one step further, Stephanie.
Oh, gosh.
You should have somebody in your life that you know that you can count on to enforce that with you.
Well,
and with you, with your mother.
Right. Because she let me have my breath, and then she virtually, via text message, slapped me in the face.
So did you go get a pint of ice cream after that?
No, but I did feel like... That is exactly... Yeah. I was actually at the Y at the time because I was working out. And I was like, I'm going to go get some milkshake or something.
Right.
Like, just to make myself
soothing,
feel better.
Soothing, delicious sugar.
I know.
Isn't that the truth?
It's exactly what I
thought. No, it's not. You'll feel worse afterwards.
Yeah, I know. And I didn't. I didn't go get it.
Good for you.
So anyway, that's my words of wisdom.
Mine, I guess mine don't really relate to anything. It's just, I was thinking on the way over here, there are a lot of things that I do. I got a day job. I have this podcast thing on the side. I have... you know, sometimes I'll coach kids and I'm busy, you know, that's what dads do.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose
that's what dads should do.
And a lot of times there are people who are, could be critical of the things that, like, man, you're too busy or this is distracting you from this. And you know, there was a time when I was probably 30 at the time when I just didn't know what I wanted to do. We didn't have kids. We were married, newly married. And, I heard, I guess it was in Shawshank Redemption, the line, get busy living or get busy dying. I'm like, yeah, that's, I almost played that clip for this.
Well, you ruined
for my
it.
Words
you
of wisdom.
Saved that one. You
but then I got to thinking about how I've evolved since then. And so I did. I got busy living instead of getting busy dying. And I started doing all these things. I built a recording studio in my basement to make music. I found myself making music with people. Switched my career, essentially. I guess it was about 11 years ago when I did this. And so as things have evolved, you know, people can be more critical of all these things I'm doing. So this is what speaks to me today, sort of.
You know, if it ain't that piece of paper, some other choice are going to try and make for you. You got to do what Randall Pink Floyd wants to do, man. Let me tell you this. The older you do get, the more rules are going to try to get you to follow.
Ain't that the truth?
You just got to keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm going to buy a t-shirt that says that, and I'm going to wear it to the band's next gig, September 23rd at Gerstle's, by the way, Science for John Clay. And I'm going to wear a shirt that says L-I-V-I-N.
Exactly.
That's right.
And so it's kind of what you're talking about here in your quote of Mr. McConaughey, that no matter
Wooderson. It's Wooderson.
Okay.
Sorry. He's in character.
He's in character. Is that there's always going to be new, whether it's probably more like social rules to follow.
Right.
And you just got to live the way you want to live.
You got to be yourself. You know, people can adjust to me.
And it kind of goes in line with the kind of social media and internet things that we were talking about, that as that evolved, new rules come up.
I think Jason is a great example of that. Jason is who Jason is, and he's not going to change for anybody. I've seen him put things on social media.
He filtered a little bit.
Today he was. Yeah.
He was pretty filtered. Yeah, I've
seen
impressive.
Him put things up. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe. Now, granted, the thing that I'm thinking of in particular, and I should have brought this up to him, was during the Super Bowl one year, and I suspect that he probably had some drinks.
Right,
he was drinking
right.
and tweeting. And I was like, oh my gosh, but you know what? He is who he is, and I love him for it.
Unapologetically, right.
I love it. So we can all do a little bit more of that. I think.
Yeah.
Just keep on LIVIN, everybody.
I want to see.
You know what I think.
That's my perspective on that.
That's right.
It is indeed. It is indeed.
Okay. We're going to get out of here. What do you say?
I say let's do it.
Okay. Thank you for listening, everybody. We post every Tuesday. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/40ishpodcast and at 40ishpodcast.com. I'm on Twitter at Dan Vonderhyde.
And I'm at Lou Sam Fun.
We'll see you next Tuesday.